Good morning and welcome back to Condo Craze and H Ways. We're here each Sunday at 11 a.m. on 850 WFTL in South Florida. I'm Karen Curtis and I'm here again today with attorney Eric Glazer from Glazer & Sachs PA. Eric is board certified by the Florida Bar in condominium and plan development law. There's only about 100 plus attorneys that are board certified, and he is. The firm has offices in Fort Lauderdale and satellite offices in Orlando and Tallahassee, and we are here each week to answer all your calls and emails about the issues that make life in your condominium or HOA absolutely crazy nuts from one minute until the next. And we would love to get the phone lines going early, answering all of your condo and HOA questions no matter where you are in the state. So give us a call right here in the studio, 877-850-8585. Again, that's 877-850-8585. Or if you prefer to email us your questions, you can do so by visiting the show's website at condocrazeandhoas.com and by clicking on the Email the Show tab.
All right. Good morning, everybody. Happy Cinco de Mayo. If you're a fan of the show and like to read our blogs and newsletters, just make sure to go to our website at condocrazeandhoas.com. Join our email list, because by joining, you get a lot of information. Each week, you're going to get announcements about the show, our blog, our free seminars, our newsletters, updates on the law, and a lot more. Of course, today, we're going to actually give you some updates on the law as the Florida legislature just came to a close. And every Monday morning, we do a blog on a new HOA or condo topic. Where you can find that blog is at hoa-condoblog.com. Again, hoa-condoblog.com. Tomorrow's topic, well, last week we spoke about bingo in your community, and if that's legal, tomorrow we'll stay on gambling and we'll talk about your poker and mahjong games in your community.
Yeah.
Are those legal? And remember that sheriff's office that broke in to that community in Orlando and almost rounded up the four 90-year-old women that were gambling by playing, you know, 10-cent mahjong games.
We had them on the show.
Weren't they great?
They were the best.
They were wonderful.
Love
absolutely
them.
But before we get going, I just want to say thank you to everybody who came to our seminar in Tampa on Monday. We had an absolutely amazing turnout. About 200 of you showed up to our Tampa class. And
whoa.
Karen, really, the best part for me
was
how many people, you know, I'm sitting there in Tampa on the other side of the state, and how many people came up to me and said, you know what, we love listening to you guys every Sunday. And, you know, we're far away from home over there, and these people actually make an effort by tuning in every Sunday morning on the internet to hear us in Tampa. So
hello, Tampa.
Hello, Tampa. Shout out to all of you there that I know are listening right now. As a matter of fact, we'd love for you guys to call in. We'd love to get a call from Tampa this morning, letting us know what you thought about the seminar. Your comments were fantastic, actually, and very, very much appreciated.
All right. Well, the Florida legislature no longer in session, having concluded on Friday night. So this is the show where you would normally tell everyone what new condo and HOA laws passed and what we can expect.
Okay, that's right, Karen. So everybody, will give you some time. We'll do this slow. Grab a pen, grab some paper, right? We're going to give you a few minutes here to do that, because you're going to write down all the new condo laws, all the new HOA laws that pass, pretty important stuff that happens every single year. Because before the legislature closed, there were several bills pending regarding fire safety in your community, right? The installation of your engineered life safety system, the ability for associations to opt out. There were bills pending that spoke about that new 8-year rule.
Uh-huh.
When do you start counting the 8-year rule? Do you do it, you know, from the beginning of time, or do you start counting it after July 1st, 2018? So there was a bill pending on that issue.
Mm-hmm.
There was bills pending to allow associations to charge more for background checks. There were bills pending regarding fixing the recall statute that's broken, and lots of other things. So again, grab your pen, grab your paper, because now we're going to tell you exactly what passed, what you need to know going forward now. All right, get ready. Here we go. All right, so at the top of the page, take your pen, write down the word nothing.
Oh.
Nothing. Because there you have it. That's everything that passed this year. Exactly nothing. Not one community association bill.
And let me get this straight. Half the state lives in a community association?
That's right.
9 million people?
Yeah, that's exactly right.
And they did nothing for them?
They did nothing. You know, we talk about on this show apathy in community associations, right? We all were quick to blame, you know, the people that live in the community not getting involved. Well, guess what? You know, examples come from the top. And this year, there was apathy by the Florida legislature. And like exactly what you said, despite the fact that half of everybody who lives in the entire state, half of all Florida residents live in a community association, there still remains this thought almost year after year that community association laws are basically fine. They don't need much fixing. All is well. Leave well enough alone.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. It's just amazing. So does that mean that for those people in the high-rise condominium associations that were praying that they wouldn't have to install the engineered life safety system, they're on the hook for
guess
all that money?
What? They sure are. They've been, you know, holding their breath, hoping that the Florida legislature would pass a law, pass a new statute that would give them the opportunity to opt out
which
of
you
the
wrote.
Engineered life safety system. I didn't write that one.
Well, that one I didn't do. Oh, but it passed, and he didn't.
Oh, that was and then the governor vetoed it 2 years ago, so they were hoping the Florida legislature would again bail out high-rise associations this year. Well, guess what? It is now crystal clear. There is no opting out of an engineered life safety system if your local fire marshal says your building has to put one in. You're now stuck. Like it or not, the Florida legislature simply couldn't agree on the language here, so nothing passed. And get this, Karen, if you were required to install sprinkler system and you never voted to opt out of the sprinkler system requirement, well, guess what? The law was now clarified again. You're now facing fines and penalties as of January 1st, 2020.
Oh, my goodness.
You cannot opt out any longer. So if you're not fixing it, you're not installing it by January 1st, 2020, you don't have that permit by then, guess what? Fines and penalties against you guys now, too. So we are in a pretty difficult situation.
Yeah,
here.
I mean, that situation in Florida, we're not only, we have buildings getting older, they need repairs, you know, the cement's falling off the outside on the balconies. These same buildings may need to be forced to install an engineered life safety system, and you can explain what all that entails.
Sure.
And, of course, they may also need structural repairs, electrical repairs, plumbing repairs, most associations are waiving reserves. This sounds like a recipe for disaster.
Yeah, it is. I mean, we are facing a potential danger here of tragic proportions. That's the way I see it. Because by allowing community associations to waive reserves every year, you're simply giving owners enough rope to hang themselves with.
Very dangerous.
I've said it before. Oh, and I'll say it again. Some form of reserves, and I know this is not popular, but I'm telling you, some form of reserves need to be mandatory in the state. Because if people are, you know, complaining about $50 a month contributing toward a reserve account, well, how in the world are they going to afford a $10,000 or more special assessment in one shot?
Yeah.
So, you know, the bottom line is the answer is they're not going to be able to afford it. And you're going to have people losing their homes. You're going to have elderly people losing their homes. And to me, this is about as serious as anything else going on. And this needs to be addressed by the Florida legislature.
That wasn't always the rule. That was a new rule where they sent out the letter and the big red print on the bottom, you know, to opt out.
Right, with the waiver, yeah.
Right, the waiver.
When
did that come about?
That came into about 14 years ago, and Florida was getting deluged by hurricane after hurricane.
Okay.
So, you know, a lot of people were complaining that, wait a minute, I'm getting foreclosed on now because the association passed this massive special assessment because we had hurricane damage and a big deductible.
So now it's a mess.
So they were complaining, so the legislature said, you know what, we're still going to allow you to opt out, but on the form that you signed, we're going to put warning language on there. You know, that's nice, but the bottom line is people are still opting out.
Don't stick a knife in a toaster either.
Right, exactly, yeah.
So whatever happened to that bill that was actually being pushed by the Airbnb people would have taken away the power from cities to regulate whether or not short-term rentals would be allowed in their city?
Now, I guess the good news is that bill failed too. So at least for now, municipalities can still regulate short-term rentals. And more importantly, condos and HOAs certainly can prohibit them in their community if the unit owners want to. You know, there was a different focus this year. There was a focus on preventing sanctuary cities.
Yes.
Right? There was a focus on allowing teachers to carry
weapons.
Weapons, right. You know, just kind of like
a
Republican.
They did a lot.
Republican red meat type of session.
Right.
And there was also some
environmental laws. Oh, and texting
laws.
And driving.
Texting and driving, right. Representative Slosberg came through, and very, very happy for her, proud of her that she actually got that done. I thought that was fantastic. Long overdue in the state of Florida.
There's 45 other states that do it.
Yeah, I actually spoke to her about this, and some of you may not know, you know, why she was a big proponent about that bill. She was involved in a terrible, terrible accident.
Oof.
Where she lost her twin sister in that accident.
due to a texting and driving.
As a result of texting and driving. So she made this a promise to her sister, and to say that, you know, at least I, for one, am proud of her for getting this bill passed, and which was previously very difficult to do. I think she really deserves a pat on the back for this one.
And so
fantastic,
this really
job,
puts
well done.
More teeth into an accident like the Venus Williams accident, where they're going to go ahead and subpoena your phone and see if you were on it or texting at the time of the crash.
Exactly.
That will make
sure
it even worse,
yeah,
right?
It's now a primary offense.
Right.
And I, for one, am happy to see that it actually passed.
They can tell what you were doing right
absolutely.
Up until the wreck.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Long overdue. But let's do this. Let's take our first break of the hour. The calls are actually stacking up. Taking your calls, everybody. 877-850-8585. 877-850-8585. We'll be back right after this.
Need an insurance evaluation, audit, or quotation for your condo association or homeowners association? If so, then you need to speak with our insurance experts at Mack, Mack & Waltz. We insure over 800 associations, and we are the clear leader in this marketplace. Mack, Mack & Waltz has been in business since 1989. We write insurance on billions of dollars of property values. We are an independent insurance agency representing insurance companies which specialize in condo and HOA insurance. The staff at Mack, Mack & Waltz works closely with board members and property managers and regularly attends association meetings to help educate the association about their insurance policies. To learn more about how Mack, Mack & Waltz can save you money and improve your insurance program, call now 954-640-6225 and ask for Greg Waltz. 954-640-6225, Mack, Mack & Waltz Insurance Group. Let us protect your association.
Tired of the lousy quality and customer service from your current internet and telephone provider? Are your monthly bills continuing to go up while the level of service you receive goes down? There is a choice. Based in South Florida, OpticalTel is a fully integrated telecable company utilizing advanced fiber optic technology to deliver video, internet, and telephone service to condominiums and homeowners associations throughout Florida, all at a great price. OpticalTel has defined itself as a leader within the MDU marketplace, providing fiber optics in your home or unit. OpticalTel covers the entire gamut of video, internet, and telecommunication deployment within the condominium and HOA marketplace. Call us before you sign that long-term bulk contract. OpticalTel is the clear choice for video, internet, and phone from beginning to end. Call 1-800-30-FIBER. That's 1-800-30-FIBER. 1-800-30-FIBER. Or visit us at OpticalTel.com.
Is your home or condo looking old, worn out, and in need of a fresh look? Then you need PD Painting to paint your property and make it look like new again. PD Painting will first properly prepare your home and condo and then use only the highest quality paint products. After many years in the painting industry, PD Painting has achieved a reputation for always delivering a reliable and professional finish. PD Painting is fully licensed and insured and offers a 7 to 10 year warranty. Their technicians are expert craftsmen. Let PD Painting handle all the details and then sit back and watch them restore your property and bring back that brand new look and feel. Need a service call? PD Painting will be there on the spot. Need financing? PD Painting can offer that too. Call PD Painting at 888-416-3204. Again, that's 888-416-3204. Go to the website pdpaintinginc.com. Need painting done in your home and community? Contact the experts at PD Painting.
Having problems with the drain pipes and sewers in your condo or HOA? Overwhelmed by the cost of replacement or repair? Call Pipelining Technologies, 561-853-5463. Those old days of invasive repairs to your drain pipes and sewers are over. Thanks to trenchless pipelining and sewer repair by Pipelining Technologies, you don't have to worry about destroying walls, floors, sidewalks, or even landscaping. Pipelining Technologies can fix your drain pipes and sewers without interrupting the quality of life in your community and home. First, the technicians video the source of the problem. Then the patented structural liner is inserted into your damaged pipes. The liner is then inflated to form a new pipe within the old one. And within hours, the job is finished. If drain pipes and sewers in your condo or HOA are failing due to cracks, corrosion, misalignment, tree roots, or they're just backed up, call Pipelining Technologies, 561-853-5463.
And be sure to view their website and 10-year parts and labor warranty at PipeLT.com. That's PipeLT.com.
I can't breathe in prayer. I can't breathe.
Welcome back to Condo Craze and HOAs here on 850 WFTL. Karen Curtis with attorney Eric Glazer. He specializes in community association law. The number to call to ask him a question, it's toll-free. The advice is free. 877-850-8585. 877-850-8585. Phone lines are stacked.
Get to the phones, though. What can you say about the job Trump is doing with our economy? What an amazing week, Karen, huh? It's like incredible.
In spite of humming on all cylinders.
I mean, it's amazing. We have the envy of the world. And in spite of the Democrats doing everything in their power to destroy this administration and brand our president a Russian spy for the last 3 years and accuse him of collusion and obstruction, the economy is off the charts. The lowest unemployment numbers in 50 years. No inflation. How about this? The people at the bottom of the ladder in terms of wages, their wages are rising
right.
the fastest.
Right.
And he's doing all of this in spite of Democrats and without any of their help. Can you imagine if he actually had some cooperation?
Yeah, right? I know, right? Exactly.
Right. And now who's the new target? William Barr, the attorney general. You know, all I can say is really what was once a party of honor in the likes of, you know, John Kennedy, ask not what your country could do for you, but what you can do for your country. Mm-hmm. You want to talk about a phrase that flopped on its head? Now it's all about what can I take from my country and take and get for free, right? I mean, you want to talk about his words being flipped on their head. It's terrible. And I'll tell you, sore losers, crybabies, obstructionists, and I tell you this, Karen, as you'll soon see, criminal defendants who tried to bring down a sitting president. Mark my word.
Well, the New York Times is now reporting on
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. What do you know?
It's unbelievable. So do you think that we're going to see the arrest of some prominent Democrats?
I'll tell you this. Here's what I think we will all see. Anyone involved in presenting that false information to the FISA court, so the court would issue a warrant to spy on the Trump campaign, yeah, they will be in handcuffs.
But they had to obviously know it was false.
Oh, absolutely. And there's already been a finding by that, basically,
okay.
by the FISA court. This is going to be huge.
But
it's
did they know it at the time? I don't know.
Yeah,
okay,
of course they do it. Absolutely. And there's already findings by the FISA court judges in that regard. But the Dems wanted to go down this rabbit hole. They got their wish. Bad move. And I'll say this, Karen. As a Jewish person, I'll say it again. In the history of this country, at a time when we see the Democratic Party filled with anti-Semites and an anti-Israel agenda, we have in President Trump the greatest friend the Jewish people have ever had. I couldn't make that any clearer. A president who loves Israel, loves the Jewish people, has Jewish children, has Jewish grandchildren, vows to protect Israel, moves our embassy to Jerusalem, recognizes the Golan Heights as belonging to Israel. And in the words of the rabbi who just suffered through that terrible attack in California, he actually called Trump a real mensch. So great job, President Trump.
Is that
Trump.
A good thing?
Oh, it's a fantastic
okay.
thing. A mensch is like an all-around great guy.
Okay,
and that's
good.
What a guy who does the right thing.
Good.
And that's what the rabbi called President Trump. And you know what bottom line is? He doesn't need their help. Stick to your plans. Even without the Democrats' help, the bottom line, he controls the Supreme Court, foreign policy, every federal agency. So just ignore the Democrats at their own peril. They don't want to be part of what's happening, and it's good. They do that at their own risk. This will be the easiest reelection there ever was. You can write that down. How about we go to Tom in Pompano?
Good morning, guys. How are
Tom.
You?
Hey, buddy.
Yeah, Eric, okay. You're a bench as well. I'm
if
on a
Tom com- isn't there,
I'm
we go to Julia.
No, he's there. He doesn't hear
yeah.
him.
I'm here. I'm
Eric,
here.
I can't hear Tom at
Eric,
all.
Tom called you a mensch.
Ah, thank you,
I think
Tom.
You're a mensch.
There you go. All right. I heard that loud and clear.
My phone is Meshuggah. I'm on a condo board.
You're a Meshuggah then. Okay. So you're on a condo board.
Recently, yes, absolutely. Recently, it's come to my attention that a vendor came into the CAM's office and accused another board member of trying to shake down the association.
Mm.
What am
okay.
I supposed to do?
Oh, a shakedown. We love that.
A vendor accused a board member, what, of asking for a kickback?
Yes.
Okay. Well, you know, technically now that's a crime. That is now a mm-hmm. crime mm-hmm. under the condo statutes. As a matter of fact, for the first time, effective July 1, 2018, the word kickback is now actually indicated in the statute. So what are you're asking me what you do as another board member? I think as a board member, the board has an obligation to investigate it. And if you think there's something there, technically the board would have an obligation, I believe, a fiduciary duty to the unit owners to report it to the police. But at least it should definitely not go uninvestigated. If one of your board members
There is a complication. We're
yes.
supposed to be a three-member board. for 15 months, we've been a two-member board.
Oh.
We'll appoint someone else.
So you've been. So what is it? The other person that's on the board with you was accused?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So
me.
The bottom line is, when I talk about a fiduciary obligation, it's really the fiduciary obligation that you have. So now you have a two-member board,
now
of which
you're
one, and your other board member, right, has potentially, mm-hmm. is this person, is this vendor willing to sign like a sworn statement that says that?
I'm going to talk to him, because Cam told me about it. I have two witnesses, so I have to talk to
the
vendor.
Well, if that vendor's willing to sign a sworn statement to that effect, then yes, I would say you have an obligation to report it.
And to the police?
To the police, absolutely. You owe that to the unit owners. That's why you sign up for this.
Oh, yeah, DBPR, yep. Eric?
Yeah, in a couple of years, they'll get right back to you on that. So my suggestion to you is...
I just spoke to the district
attorney. Yeah, you should all call. What city are you in?
Pompano.
Pompano. Then you go to the Pompano. Pompano has their own police department, or do they use BSO?
BSO.
It's BSO, so you would have to report this to BSO. Yeah.
Tough
place to be in, Tom, but that's the answer.
Okay, so I get a sworn affidavit. And then from the vendor, and I have two witnesses that he made the claim.
Yep.
And then
you bring it to them, and I think they're going to probably do something about it, yes.
And if he's listening right now, his sphincter's tightening.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Well, you shouldn't do that.
Yeah.
Lawyer up. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay? Good luck to you, Tom.
All right.
Thanks for caring enough to actually figure out what to do instead of ignoring it. That's the way to go. How about we go to Julie in Hollandale?
Good morning, Eric, and good morning, Karen.
Hello.
How are you?
Yeah, I think Trump is definitely a mensch, and Democrats, the D stands for disgrace.
There you go. That's how
I
feel at this point.
To them.
Yep, that's exactly how I feel.
Yeah,
he is a mensch.
Like, really shameful.
Yep.
Question. We have a board that does not like to hold meetings and specifically avoids answering any questions. So even if we have a Q&A item on the agenda, which happens extremely rarely, they literally vote to close the meeting when they hear a question. As the owners, what do we do to assure that, number one, the meetings are conducted regularly, and number two, that there's always a Q&A item on the agenda with a minimum time allocated?
Okay, couple of things.
Do we need signatures? Yeah.
No. Great question. Okay, great question. So, number one, the statute for both condos and HOAs allows the unit owners to speak it at meetings. So the meeting cannot be closed and then they take questions, okay? The meeting needs to remain open. Unit owners are allowed to talk about any item on the agenda. Now, the statute needs to be clarified as to whether or not the most associations put like a good and welfare portion of the agenda at the end. So the board goes through their routine. They vote on many issues. And at the end, they allow the unit owners to talk. But it seems in your community, that's not even happening. They're closing the meeting and then taking questions. Okay, so number one, so that's a clear violation of the statute. Number one, video one meeting, right? Video it.
There you go.
And then I would file a complaint in all seriousness with the DBPR. Send them a copy of the video and saying, see, this is exactly how our board does it time and again. Now, there's another way to get your board to answer questions. The Florida condo statute, and this is the condo statute only, allows unit owners to file with their board a unit owner inquiry. So what is a unit owner inquiry? It's actually the right to ask a question in writing. Now, why is that important? Because your board, when you submit a question, your board has 30 days to actually give you a written response to that question. And they're actually penalized if they don't give you an answer within 30 days. And what's the penalty? If you wind up in litigation against your community as in regards to that question that you're answering, that you're asking, I should say, even if you lose now, the association's penalty for not responding to you is they don't get prevailing party attorney's fees against you. So once you send that letter to them and they ignore you, you have nothing to lose whatsoever should you file a lawsuit or an arbitration action, and the association has everything to lose. So I would do two things. I would get a videotape of the way they do things, and then I'd file a complaint with the division. And then secondly, submit your questions in writing, certified mail, return receipt requested, and specifically call it a unit owner inquiry. Okay? Julia, hate to rush, but we got to take our bottom of the hour break. Keep the calls coming, everybody. John, Pat, Ann, we see you're still there. Everybody else, call in at 877-850-8585, 877-850-8585. We'll be back right after this.
Here's Jeff and Jonathan from Sherlock Tree.
Do your trees on your property look like a mess? Are they unsightly and overgrown? At Sherlock Tree Company, we know you're tired of going from company to company, hoping to find the one that gets it. At Sherlock Tree Company, we get it.
I'm Jonathan, the head arborist at Sherlock Tree Company. We've been here in South Florida since 1974, serving the Tri-County area. Our entire team is first class. We are committed to the long-term health and wellness of your trees. Please call me or any one of our other certified arborists at 954-788-4000.
Sherlock Tree has state-of-the-art equipment that is ready for action the minute we roll up on your job and what you've hired us for. Our large staff does residential, commercial, and large HOA work for some of the most notable properties in South Florida. Whether it's trimming or pruning, tree removal, new tree installation, or even if you want a whole new look, Sherlock Tree won't quit unless you are completely satisfied.
Call me, Jonathan, at Sherlock Tree Company at 954-788-4000. Check us out on the web at SherlockTree.com. That's SherlockTree.com.
This message is for anyone who has taken on the important responsibility of becoming an officer or director in a homeowner or condominium association. It is also for the management companies who work closely with these caring people to make sure things are done the right way. Hello, I'm Gil Pomar, South Florida Regional President for CenterState Bank, now the second largest bank based in Florida. Our bank, CenterState Bank, has an amazing team of professionals who are exclusively dedicated to the homeowner and condo association market. Your job is not easy. There are repairs and new projects that need financing. There are legal and social issues that need to be understood. There are also technology and servicing issues that your residents want to be improved. Why not choose a bank that knows this business backward and forward? Why not have a local banker who will meet with you face to face whenever it is convenient for you or your board? CenterState Bank has over 2,000 associations as customers for a reason. Please give us a chance to earn your business. Call Terry Russo at 954-633-1666 to make it happen. CenterState Bank is an equal housing lender and a member of the FDIC.
Ah, the finer things. Spectacular wine, exotic vacations, or just the time to enjoy the view from your condo? Affinity Management Services gives you time to enjoy them. We provide full-service community association management, including site, administrative, and financial services. We handle everything from complaints and collection of assessments to emergency services and maintenance, giving you more time. Fully accredited by the National Board of Certification for Community Association Managers, we promise service delivered with integrity and respect. And we're endorsed by the Better Business Bureau for our streamlined and professional approach to quality service. Join hundreds of board members across South Florida and call us today at 305-325-4243. Affinity Management Services, simplifying your life to make time for the finer things. 305-325-4243. AffinityManagementServices.com.
Never wait for that first drop of water to leak from your ceiling before you decide to check your roof. Once damage sets in, repairs become more expensive. Invest in a true life cycle roof management program with Best Roofing and protect your building's assets. A roof management service agreement with Best Roofing will prolong the life of your roof, preventing premature roof failure. Let Best Roofing help your association save money with our annual service agreements that prevent leaks, provide emergency service, and increase the life expectancy of your roof. We give you a realistic budget, so there are no unwelcome surprises. Our roof service agreements also provide for cleaning all debris, minor maintenance, sealing and topping off all pitch pans, caulking, and more. And should a storm hit or other emergency occur, clients with service agreements get priority service. To schedule your free condo roof analysis, call Best Roofing at 954-941-9111. That's 954-941-9111. Visit our website at bestroofing.net.
Welcome back to the second half hour of Condo Craze. And HOAs here on 850 WFTL. Karen Curtis here with attorney Eric Glazer. He actually specializes in community association law. It is his life. He's board certified. And he's giving out some advice today. If you call him at 877-850-8585, 877-850-8585. Phone lines are packed.
Stacked. How about we go to John in Lake Worth? How are you, John?
Good morning. I'm fine. My condominium association hired a property management company years ago, and in the contract it says that the property management company will provide a manager for 40 hours. Doesn't specifically mention what time they come in and leave, just says 40 hours.
Right.
Our property manager, since January, has only been working 28 hours. The president is in full knowledge of this, and as far as I can tell, the rest of the board knows about this.
Right.
Don't they have a fiduciary responsibility to make that known? And what recourse do we have when we have a board that doesn't listen to
us? Well, when you say, you know, if you're not happy with your board, the recourse that everyone in the state of Florida has when they're not happy with a board is to try to vote them out, right? Whether it be at the next annual election or if you want to try to do it beforehand by trying to recall the board, right, by getting a majority vote of the owners and have them sign ballots, actually recalling them. Now, the prior caller, Julia, I advised her that she can write a unit owner inquiry to her board when she has a question, and they have to respond to that. So you can do the same thing to your board saying, I have a question. I've reviewed the contract for our association's management company. It requires a 40-hour per week on-site community association manager. How come the current manager is only working 28 hours a week? See what they say. Again, they should let you know. They should give you something in writing. And certainly at the next board meeting and under the good and welfare section, you should certainly be able to at least ask your board that in front of the community. And there's no reason why they shouldn't be able to give you an answer to that question.
When I said recourse, I'm assuming that they don't come back with a good answer because I have many years of experience with these people.
Right.
And they don't come back with proper answers. What I mean is, do we have to go out and hire an attorney to sue the board?
No, I don't think that would work. But what I do think you have the option to do, again, like everybody else in every other community, you have the right to vote your board out early. If you want to go on a campaign,
what I'm telling you is,
you can't sue your board for negligence or anything like that because
they're
letting them work
40 hours. We're not getting 40 hours. What is that called?
It's called your board not strictly enforcing the terms of the contract. I get it. But whether or not you would be able to get damages against your board, no, I don't think you'd be able to get damages against your board for that. Not in their, you know, their
individual
capacities.
Well, we're not looking for money. We're just looking for the recourse to get the board to do their fiduciary responsibility.
Yeah,
if someone's supposed to work 40 hours and they're giving you 28, to me, that's fraud.
Right. So if your community is, you know, upset about the fact that your board is allowing the management company, in your words, to get away with fraud, then the community should be able to come together and get a simple majority vote in favor of a new board. But that's the answer. There is no lawsuit against your current board. Okay. John, thanks for the phone call. How about we go to Pat in Deerfield? How are you, Pat?
Hi, Eric. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure thing.
I have a question. I'm hearing that there's a bill that would force HOAs and condominiums to accept short-term rentals
or vacations like Airbnb
and HomeAway. Is that true?
Okay, that bill died. That bill did not pass this year. What the bill actually was, it was a bill that was being pushed by like Airbnb that basically would have taken away the ability of local governments to prevent short-term rentals in their cities, in their municipalities, right? So it would have been a great thing for Airbnb. That bill did not pass this year. So forget about it. So the bottom line is for now.
Is there a chance that it could pass next year?
Yeah,
I mean,
sure.
Because this would be horrible for condos. Don't you agree?
I agree. Now, the question was, just because there was a law that would have prevented cities, right, or municipalities from preventing short-term rentals, the question was, well, would that law, if passed, have prevented condos or HOAs from preventing short-term rentals? I don't think so. But an abundance of caution, now is a good time, and you do raise a great point, Pat, that this statute or this bill may raise its ugly head again next year. So in the interim, it's probably a good idea where if you want to limit short-term rentals in your community, do it now before the statute is actually changed, because a statute cannot change a contractual provision that you already have in your governing documents. That would be unconstitutional. So The greatest part about your phone call is you're waking up a lot of communities out there to the fact that this can happen next year, and you protect yourself now by the next year by amending your documents to prevent short-term rentals. It's a real good phone call, Pat. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
How about we go to Ann in Fort Myers, west side of the state. How are you, Ann?
I'm good. How are you?
Okay. How can we help?
Well, regarding the fire safety law, you said that it is only high rises that it affects.
Right.
What constitutes a high rise?
75 feet.
How many floors?
75.
75 feet.
Yes, typically that's about 7 floors, right. But 75 feet in height is considered a high-rise building. And again, those are the ones, anything in excess of that, the fire marshal can come around and say, fire sprinklers, and you have the you had the opportunity to opt out. So a lot of communities did, in fact, opt out, thinking they were in the clear. They'll never have to spend any big money. And along comes your fire marshal and says, install an engineered life safety system. And engineered life safety system could be very expensive as well. So associations, high-rise associations, wanted the ability to opt out of that as well. That bill passed 2 years ago, only to be vetoed by Governor Scott. They tried again to do it this year, and the bill failed on the last day of the Florida legislature. The House and the Senate couldn't agree on the proper wording. So the bottom line is, for condos, for high-rise condos, if you opted out of fire sprinklers before, no problem. You can stay opted out. But if a request or demand is made upon you to install an engineered life safety system, guess what? You have to install it. Okay, so I hope that answers your question. Let's take our final break of the hour. Taking your calls, everybody. 877-850-8585. 877-850-8585. We'll be back right after this.
Is your condominium starting to crumble? Are your balconies breaking down? Are pieces of concrete and stucco flying off your building, making the building look ugly and putting your residents at risk? Are you in need of your 40-year certification for your building? If so, you need Carousel Development and Restoration right away. Carousel is a concrete restoration company specializing in high-rise condominiums throughout South Florida. Whether you need balcony repairs, garage decks, full deck replacement, rail fabrication and installation, impact windows and doors, or painting and waterproofing, Carousel has you covered. After all, we're South Florida's largest locally owned structural restoration contractor and have been located in Delray since 1979. We know how tough it is to start projects in your condo. Where do you begin? You begin by calling the licensed and insured experts at Carousel Restoration for a free estimate. 561-272-3700. That's 561-272-3700.
Or visit the website cdri.net.
Condominium Concepts Management puts your condo's interests first. Condominium Concepts negotiates the best prices and demands the best service from all the association's vendors and providers. There are no kickbacks, no add-up charges, no double talk, and all the savings are passed on to the association. Condominium Concepts Management understands they're there to help, not take control of your association. The licensed professionals work as a team with your board of directors to come up with joint ideas to make your community a great place to live. At a time when every dollar counts, Condominium Concepts prides itself on having reasonable fees, same-day response time, educated personnel, and an eye for reducing expenses for every unit owner. Condominium Concepts can also aggressively collect from the association's delinquent owners. Call Condominium Management Concepts, 772-618-5370 for a free quote. That's 772-618-5370. Learn how Condominium Concepts is helping the communities throughout the Southeast. Visit their website, condominiumconcepts.com.
Are the roads, parking lots, and walkways in your community association in need of repair? Driveway Maintenance can help. We are the largest seal coating company in the United States and have been an industry leader for over 57 years in asphalt restoration, asphalt paving, parking lot striping and maintenance, concrete sidewalks, curbing, or ADA parking lot compliance. Let Driveway Maintenance pave the way and make your community look great. At Driveway Maintenance, we believe in well-trained personnel, top-quality equipment and materials, and friendly customer service. Our customers include office building complexes, educational facilities, hospitals, hotel chains, apartment complexes, and of course, condominium and homeowner associations, and the largest mall and big box retail companies in the country. Driveway Maintenance, Inc. is a LEED accredited, Green Advantage certified, environmentally responsible, full service asphalt paving contractor and seal coating expert. Driveway Maintenance serves the entire state of Florida and most of the southeastern United States. Call Driveway Maintenance for a free estimate at 1-800-432-1191. That's 800-432-1191. And you can visit our website at driveway.net.
Is your condominium or HOA in need of accounting services? Look no further. Gerstle, Rosen & Goldenberg is one of South Florida's largest accounting and auditing firms, as recognized by the South Florida Business Journal, and is one of the few accounting firms uniquely specialized to provide accounting services to their growing condominium and homeowner association clientele throughout Florida. With primary offices in Aventura and Boca Raton, satellite offices in Naples and Orlando, and a professional staff of 65, Gerstle, Rosen & Goldenberg is prepared to meet the needs of any condominium or HOA in the state. The professionals at Gerstle, Rosen & Goldenberg also have experience working with timeshares, cooperatives, hotel condominiums, mixed-use buildings, and ancillary operations like restaurants, spas, and country clubs. Put their 25 years experience in your corner. Gerstle, Rosen & Goldenberg, 305-937-0116. That's 305-937-0116 or grgcpa.com.
Welcome back to the final segment of Condo Craze and HOAs here on 850 WFTL. And the phone lines are buzzing if you want to ask Eric a question. He is board certified in condo and HOA law. The number to call is 877-850-8585, 877-850-8585.
All right, here's a new one. Anonymous. Let's take a call from Anonymous.
Good morning, Eric and Karen.
Good morning.
Thank you for the wonderful show. And also, we love you and we love our magnificent president, Trump.
Thank you very much. See that? All right, one for Trump
today. We just adore you. You are the best show in the radio.
Thank you so much.
Wow.
We appreciate it.
And we are a group of people. It's not only me.
Oh.
My question is, can a manager in a condominium association accepts kickbacks from realtors? She has one particular realtor that gives all the listings, the apartments for sale, and she receives big kickbacks.
Now, that's a great question, okay? So the question is, can the manager get kickbacks from a realtor? So what is the manager doing? The manager's letting this realtor know that there are units for sale in the building?
Yes. Not only that, when another realtor that is honest and great realtor go and have the paperwork done with a particular seller, she walk in, rip the paperwork, and say, no, you have to get this realtor.
Oh, there's no question the manager can lose their license for that.
Wow.
Okay? There's no question that if a manager tells somebody that they have to use a specific realtor because they're getting a kickback from that realtor.
And that realtor is so bad that the seller's complaining in writing and they are livid.
Okay. There, you know, if you're able to prove something like that, if a seller would come forward and sign an affidavit going after that manager, saying I wanted to use a particular realtor, but the manager of the community said I have to use a particular realtor, I can tell you that manager is going to get in trouble. Now I will tell you something
She's forcing them because they're 80 and 85 and 90 years old.
Understand? Well, that's typically
elder abuse.
Well, that happens. You know, Karen. You know how I've said this many times before. Maybe it's elder abuse, and I've said this before many times, you know, and I teach this at the seminars all the time. You know, if a manager is forcing you to use certain vendors, and now what makes this case interesting is the statute says it's a crime to get a kickback from a vendor for awarding a contract. That's not what we have here. That realtor is not a vendor for the community, right? So it doesn't fall to me under that statute, but it's still a breach of the manager's ethical obligations under the Chapter 468 statute, and it probably violates provisions of the contract if there is one.
Eric is chapter 468.
Yeah, that's the Community Association Manager Statute, and there's provisions in there that require them to comply with Florida Statute 718, and there's ethical standards that they must comply with. And Karen, what I was saying before and what you so rightfully brought up is the fact that when I teach around the state and I tell community associations, you know, it's you guys, it's the board who makes the decision which accountant to hire,
right,
which law firm to hire, which landscaper to hire. And if your manager is forcing certain vendors upon you, it's time to get a new management company. And Karen, you're right. Where does this happen most? It happens most in communities that are 55 and over, where, you know, perhaps they don't fight back against the management company as strong.
Yes.
Guys,
they're
don't
very
take
old
it.
And sick. And by the way, I forgot to mention, this manager is female and she has a real estate license.
Really?
with a company.
Well, the
but
only way
the funds she's getting, she put it in her pocket. She doesn't give it to her, you know.
Okay. Well, the only way, though, the only way that this gets resolved is the sellers that were forced to use a certain realtor, they're going to have to come forward. They're going to have to complain to the DBPR, to the police. They're going to have to complain to your board members, you know, or they're going to have to go out and get an attorney, one or the other. Okay? But, yes, I think that's a terrible problem. And that manager should obviously lose their job and lose their license if that's actually happening in your community.
Yes, very much so.
Okay. Hey, I thank you very much for your kind words, and I hope your group enjoys the show every Sunday.
She's so smart.
Absolutely. Oh, absolutely.
Anonymous. I thought it was going to be a Julian Assange grandmother, but no.
How about we go to Tony in Estero?
Hey, Tony.
Tony there?
Hello.
Hey, Tony. How are you?
Yes, Eric.
Yes.
Eric.
Hey, Tony. Estero, is that where those Miramar outlets are?
That's where it is.
I know it well. My wife cost me a lot of money over there previously. I know it well. All right. How can I help?
Okay. Yeah. Incidentally, my wife is barred from going to Miramar.
You're smarter than me. That's for sure. How can we help, Tony?
Exactly. Yes. The situation is, you know, people talk about condo boards doing this, condo boards doing that. And, you know, I can't reiterate enough. You need to read your condo documents.
Of course.
I know it's not a bestseller, but if you read the condo documents and the bylaws and the rules especially, you'll know exactly what the rules are in the game.
Absolutely.
You're right. You can't play a sports game without knowing what the rules are.
Right. You're 100% right. Now, people that move from their own private house that was not in an HOA to a condo or an HOA, they're the ones typically that have no idea what the hell they just got themselves into because they didn't read the documents. Typically, if you lived in a condo before or an HOA before, you're smart enough to take a look at those governing documents before moving in. But a lot of people don't, and they have no idea what they just got themselves into. They still think that, you know, it's my house. It happened in my own family, okay, where someone in my family recently bought into a condo in another state and called me up and said, what do you mean I can't put a barbecue out there? Yeah, you can't. But it's my house. Aren't I the king of my castle? You're not even, you know, a jack or a queen in your castle in a condo. Absolutely not. So, and you learn the hard way.
No, most people don't even realize that their balcony is not theirs completely.
Exactly.
And it's a limited common element.
Right, right.
And when you say this to people, they say, what do you mean? That's my balcony.
Right.
Or that's my driveway. But it really isn't.
Well, it's not even close to being yours. You have the use to it, but the board can make reasonable rules. Not only the board, but your local municipality can make rules regarding whether or not you can keep flammables out there.
Or
right?
you
have
cut
barbecues
the railing
out
to
there,
get to
right?
the pool.
Whether you can cut the railings, right? So, yeah,
exactly.
it's yours, but it's not yours. Yeah. I agree with you. But you have a very novel concept there, Tony. Read the documents. Can you imagine, Karen? This guy is off the rails. What is he thinking?
He's probably going to your seminars instead of reading the silly affidavit, too.
Right, exactly. Tony, you're 100% right. Great phone call.
Thank you.
We appreciate it. All right, how about we go to Joanne in Melbourne?
Hey, Joanne.
Hi there.
How are you, Joanne?
Hello. I'm fine. How are you?
Okay, how can we help?
I bet you, I have a situation I bet you've never encountered.
Oh, I doubt it.
Here we go.
Dump Eric Day. Here we go.
Here we go. All right, we have a management company that put restrictions on a resident that said the resident cannot speak with any of their employees and that none of their employees can speak with this resident. And this came about because this resident was on a was on a committee representing the board, and at open committee meetings where residents were there, and also the committee had four other residents and two board members as part of the committee, and the club manager filed a report, filed an HR complaint with her company saying that she was demeaned, belittled, harassed, and also threatened, primarily at these meetings.
Right. Okay.
So now keep in mind that this resident at the same time was going to run for the board of directors.
Okay.
So this person certainly was not conducting themselves in that manner. They were also recorded meetings, by the
way. So but you have a hysterical manager, basically? Are you suggesting that the manager may be a little overly sensitive?
Well, let's say that 6 months later, that manager doesn't work for that company anymore.
Okay.
But however, let's fast forward to today. That resident was elected to the board.
Okay. So at least the community thinks it's a stable person.
Okay. Yes.
Right? Okay.
Now, however,
okay. Yeah, go ahead.
There was never an investigation. And believe it or not, the day that the resident was put on the board, they actually got to see the documentation for the first time that actually put a restriction on that resident, now a board member, and it still stands to this day. The election was in December.
Right.
Even after the manager is no longer employed for that company, it still stands.
So,
and when this board of director asked an employee, how are things now, the board president has decided that they have breached some sort of regulation, policy, whatever, and now they are ostracized from the board. They have no...
Well, let me ask you this. Hold on. This guy that's supposedly not supposed to be talking with the management company anymore, how many members are on the board in total?
Seven.
And is he in the majority? In other words, does he have him and three others with him?
No.
So the firing the management company is not going to happen. Right?
No.
Okay, so the bottom line is he's stuck. He's on this board, and the management company won't talk to him. Now, bottom line is there's not much he can do about it. That's the reality of it. If the management company decides not to talk to him, they don't have to talk to him. The management company can instruct their employee, listen, don't deal with this person. Mm-hmm. We find him to be unreasonable. We find him to be nuts, whatever. They can instruct their employee that way. Now, however, the management company, and how you started the conversation was by saying the management company instructed this person not to talk to them anymore. They don't have the right to do that. And certainly there's a First Amendment right in your community to speak, number one, and there's certainly a right to speak to your management company in your own community. And certainly they can't take any action to prevent you from doing that. And if they deliberately won't talk to him and they're ignoring his concerns, in other words, let's say he has a leak in his unit and the management company refuses to talk to him about it and there's damages, man, I think he has a wonderful case against the management company.
Mm. Well, actually, it's in an HOA, so there's no kind of units involved.
Right.
But actually, the latest thing that happened would be that this board member saw an employee that they used to be able to speak to, you know, a year ago.
Right.
Because they've lived here for 11 years until this, you know, tension was put on them. They spoke to him. So now that the manager left, they said, how are things now?
Right.
You know, the employee responded.
Well, it would be great.
And responded in a way that...
It would be great if the current board was able to meet with their manager and the person who's having this problem, sit down, try to work it out, and get it done in a professional, adult-like manner. That's the way I would like to handle things at that community. See if there's a way to break the ice, you know, bridge the gap that currently exists and kind of move forward in a nice professional manner, forgetting about what happened in the past. That's the best way to do it. Yes. Hey, we only got about two minutes left. We got to grab Al in Deerfield. How are you, Al? Really quick.
Yeah, I'm in the Homeowners Association. I have a question. After the annual meeting of membership, where we vote for directors, and immediately the new directors go into a private room to elect officers of the corporation, do we have to do that in the presence of the membership, or can
yes.
that be done
great question.
Behind closed doors?
No, great question. And I don't know how this started, you know, but... it's when I first, you know, got involved in this area of the law 27 years ago now, a lot of boards would have their annual meeting, and then the board members who got elected would disappear. I'm like, where are they going? They'd go off to some room, some private room, and they do it in private. No, that actual meeting where that is called your organizational meeting, where you get to decide who's going to be president, vice president, secretary, treasurer, etc. That is your organizational meeting, and it is a board meeting. Those decisions get done at a board meeting. So, Al, you know the law. What happens with a board meeting? All board meetings have to be, A, properly noticed, right? And, B, what else? The unit owners have the right to attend and be there. So going into that back room, no, that doesn't work. Your organizational meeting
in person. My situation is
now
of the getting a meeting with the board vote against the removal of one of the officers.
Right.
Can we do it at the attorney's office?
No, all of those things should be in the open, not sunshine. It's not the same, not considered the sunshine law.
My main question has to be open.
The Florida Statute 720, you said you're in an HOA, open meetings, especially the ones where you get to decide who the officers are going to be.
I was wondering if under this situation it would be different.
Open in front of everybody. When in doubt, that's the way to do it. Okay?
All righty.
You got it. Hey, thanks for the call, Al.
What's going to happen. Thank you very much for your help. I appreciate
it. Thank you. Woof. What a crazy show today. The phones were non-stop, but that is the ultimate form of flattery. So I appreciate it, everybody. Very much so.
Especially anonymous.
Absolutely. And we are honored to have so many wonderful listeners. Today was really from around the whole state, Karen.
Yeah.
So it's an honor to be with you each and every Sunday. And remember, don't forget, if you need legal help off the air, you can call Glazer and Sachs at 954-983-1112. Again, 954-983-1112. I wish everybody a happy, healthy, wonderful week. It's Cinco de Mayo. Go out, get blasted tonight.
Go to
have fun, right? And be nice to your board, okay? Have a great week, everybody. Take care.
And their attorney.